Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from January the 17th, 2024. We'll dive right into this week's video by taking a look at the major asset class review, as well as just a brief look at Dolly. First, looking at the performance of the major indices we follow on the video, it was a bit mixed over the last week. We did see the NASDAQ 100, along with the S&P 500, NASDAQ Composite, and the Russell 1000 large cap indices finish in positive territory on this Tuesday to Tuesday roll. But we did see Russell 2000 small caps down notably, down over 2%. Also saw emerging markets and the S&P equal weight down over 1% as well. Now, looking at the chart of the S&P 500 this morning, to begin this week, we did see it rally to break a double top there at 4,800 for a third consecutive buy signal, matching the prior all-time chart high there. Has reversed down with today's action there to 4,740. As for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, we bring it up because we're now just seeing it reverse down into a column of O's here for the first time since really the latter part of last year. And at this point, sitting at 37,200. So just interesting of note there that the Dow is just now making that reversal into O's. As for the Russell 2000, I've seen two consecutive sell signals with that double bottom at 1930 occurring yesterday for that second sell signal. And now see some near-term resistance here at 1980, as well as we're now look at that prior high there from 2060 for RUT. As far as indicator action, we did see the bullish percent for the S&P 500 reverse down into O's there to 72%. Sits just above that 70% mark here. Had held in a column of X's ahead of sort of the other index-related indicators of bullish percents, such as the S&P 600, S&P 400. Those reversed down last week. Now seeing the S&P 500 move into O's this week there at 72%, but still an elevated level here as we see a greater majority of the stocks within the S&P 500 still trade on point and figure buy signals, just seeing a bit of an exhale here on the indicator. As for Dolly, not much action. The asset class rankings remain stable this week. As of for under the hood of domestic equities, have continued to see real estate can show some pickup signals and perk up here, climbing at this point to the ninth position. So at least showing some improvement relative to other sectors. As for the fixed income level, still seeing short duration and international sovereign debt fight for that middling position there for fourth and fifth. But otherwise, rankings are pretty stable. And for action on the asset class group scores page, we'll go ahead and pass it right on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. As we wrap up the first half of January, let's take a look at some of the top line score indications. I'd like to quickly say that when we're looking at some of these big indicators and we're looking at these score lists, not much has changed. I will point out that the scores are holding in at very high levels, at the highest levels we've seen in a rolling year, holding stable, as David suggested. Things are kind of calm here. Along with that theme, I will point out that the U.S. funds have gained a little bit of a spread further over international. It's probably the widest spread we've seen since the November opening of the seasonally strong period. So that trend of U.S. doing better still continuing, as is the growth and value contrast, probably the widest spread of growth over value we've seen since the seasonally strong period opened in November, with value having a little bit of a rougher 8-day roll. Now, we do see moving averages still climbing higher. Our trend indications are holding level, a little bit of an uptick, from a global appeal, but in context, very much the same as we opened the year. As we take a quick peek inside the core, I'd say things are as they have been. If you wanted to say, well, there's probably a little bit of uptick in our Q factor over the week and probably a little bit of an uptick in our momentum factor. The equal weight still struggling a little bit. So we'll just have to continue to monitor, which I think is the important second half of January. But here's where we are now. As we kind of recap this trend of trendings, I will point out that the commodity trends, which suffered all last quarter, moving into the year end, still are doing so, hitting another new technical low score in a three-year period just this week. As fixed income is holding stable, equity holding stable. Let's kind of wrap up with more trends that continue, which is our leader from last year, broke another technical high score over the rolling week, and as did our laggard of last year, China, hit an official new low downtick in score historically for the database on China. So wrapping it up, trends are just continuing as they opened up the year. No shakeups to report at this point. But for more on momentum and the dollar, let's move over to John.
Thanks, Steve. So in looking at what's going on in the different momentum areas, we can build a little bit on what Steve just talked about. So China is kind of a big thing that we'll get into, as well as a little bit of an uptick in the momentum score. So looking at the spreads, the top right is the domestic spread. That has actually done very well over the last week. We've seen the developed spread, bottom left, hook up, and emerging still continues to do really well. That spread really rocketing higher. That emerging spread, and we wrote some stuff about this, high momentum stocks in emerging markets are doing very well relative to the benchmark. A lot of that is, though, due to China and how poorly China has been ranked in these different country models. So it is easier for a strategy like momentum that can overweight and underweight certain areas to just be really underweighting China and looking at other places around the globe. So that bottom right panel that we're showing here is just a high momentum emerging market index versus the broad market benchmark that has pushed to new highs, which is very, very good to see. From that high momentum space, bottom left, developed versus EFA, that is hooked and really kind of starting to regain and get above that 50-day moving average. And then to top right, on the domestic side, we pulled back at the beginning of the month and really had a nice bounce off that 50-day moving average. So things are looking really good in terms of overall momentum, the health of the momentum market with the spreads, and then how momentum is performing relative to their benchmarks in any one given region. Now, moving over to the U.S. dollar, we haven't had a ton of developments here. We're still kind of sitting in the emerging phases of this downtrend, and we'll see how things shake out with rates and overall market movement over the next week or so. And for more about what's going on in the currency market, we'll turn it over to Miles.
Thank you, John. It was a pretty big week for the cryptocurrency space, all things considered, as the SEC approved a handful of Bitcoin or spot Bitcoin ETFs for the last 7 days. However, it looked to be more of a buy the rumor, sell the news, as Bitcoin had pretty much all but priced in an approval throughout the last quarter of 2023. All things considered, Bitcoin was the only coin to land in negative territory within that NASDAQ crypto index, down about 6.5%. However, pretty much all the other coins within that NASDAQ crypto index landed in the green. I think this is a sign, simply speculation here from my part, but a sign that possibly in the long run, those ETFs are good for increased liquidity and buying or attracting more eyes to the space overall. So we saw a bit of a pop for the rest of the space, seeing where Bitcoin lands, looking around 40,000 as a sign of a downside spot for Bitcoin if we were to travel downwards from here. But keep an eye on Bitcoin, also Coinbase as well. That's another area that's going to be affected by this kind of spot ETF that's been introduced. So keep an eye there as well. With that said, though, I will go ahead and wrap up here and toss it on over to Joseph to touch on size and styles.
Thanks, Miles. And we did see a few developments over the last week. The small cap space saw broad weakening, which was probably the biggest development. Large cap growth still holds the crown there as the sole size and style group with a average score above 4.0. S&P 500 index funds remains extremely strong. I would say no major developments, but really some of weakness in small caps over the last week. And we see that on the chart of the Russell 2000 IWM here, which David touched on earlier. Now on this IWM two-point chart, the 190 area was something we've touched on a bit over the last couple of weeks, going back to the end of last year when we saw that rally reach 205. It's pulled back down today to 188. So we're seeing very similar action to the last couple of times that we've gotten to around 200 and then a pretty sharp pullback from those levels. So While we did get the 205 and kind of break out of some resistance, it appears we're still in this broad range for now for small caps. I do think there could be some support to come into play right here. We've talked about how that column of X's, that reversal in August, reached 190. We're also right at the middle point of the trading band. So I do think we could see some firmness in small caps over the next couple of days. But on longer term timeframes, this isn't a very good look, given that, you know, kind of a small breakout and a fail and then an immediate pullback to the midpoint of the trading band. So I still think, you know, small caps in general are going to be an area to avoid or underweight. Now, when we look at the large cap space, the 10-week for the S&P 500, that did reverse down from a pretty high reading of 90%. You know, we did see the BP SPX reverse down as well. So this is going to be a shorter-term focus indicator. So we started to see some of the froth come out of the market, but not necessarily entirely. You know, this is kind of just every stock in the S&P 500 gets an equal vote here. When we look at it a little bit of a different way, this is just an index of the top five market cap stocks in the S&P 500 equally weighted. That has yet to even reverse down. It closed yesterday with a reading of 44,310. So it's actually above, you know, this last X here. So we're not even really close to seeing this reverse down. So while we have seen some weakness underneath the surface, the market generals really haven't shown a ton of weakness just yet. So I think that's something to keep in mind moving forward. If we do start to see those generals roll over, that could be a pretty negative sign for the market. However, until that happens, we could continue to kind of slowly push higher as the rest of the market kind of pulls the froth out on an equal weight basis. Getting into some individual sectors, looking at financials and healthcare, two of the most improved sectors that we've seen over the last couple of months. You know, financials have kind of been the in the spotlight for a while now. Financial banks and financials both tied with an average score of 3.77 and high positive score directions. Now, the big change over the last couple, you know, over the last month or so is going to be healthcare scoring above three for the first time in since July of last year, and you know, a pretty strong score direction to go along with it. So both of these sectors kind of continue to show signs of improvement on a longer term basis. Looking at financials in particular, you know, we're kind of getting through earnings season with some of the big banks. Looking at the Spider Bank ETF here, 3.96 fund score, still a positive score direction, but as we kind of talked about, this around 42.50 area, I think would, you know, make sense for a pullback and act as support. So we're getting close to there, 43.50. You know, I think 42.50 is going to be the biggest level, given that was the July high, looking to have that act as support moving forward. You know, bank earnings, again, overall were, you know, I would say pretty lackluster, but they weren't necessarily terrible either. So it's not too surprising to see some downside action given the negative earnings, as well as, you know, most of those names being in heavily overbought territory. But we are getting closer to the middle point of the trading band and an area where I would expect some support to come into play. And, you know, just one stock to look at here, JP Morgan, you know, kind of has pulled back since its earnings announcement. I would not be shocked to see around 160, which is the midpoint, and then 158 is the prior resistance over the last couple of years. So I think that 158, 160 area, it would not shock me to see that get tested here. So while JP Morgan has pulled back, I do think there could be a little bit more downside in the cards for this one. Getting over into healthcare, we wrote a feature about this yesterday, so you can go ahead and check it out, but just some major points to touch on. So we did see healthcare. You can see its average score history here in the first image, coming off an all-time score low to now scoring back above three. So we're seeing strength, you know, start to flow back in there. On a long-term basis, this is looking at the percent positive trend for the healthcare sector. Broke above 22 to 24%. That's the highest reading it's had since the end of 2021. So we're seeing some long-term strength start to come back into the sector. Now, when we look at XLV, the healthcare ETF, that still is in this big range it's been in since, you know, mid 2021. So the next big step for this would be for it to get above the top of the range, which is at 142. And then I also mentioned a few names here to keep an eye out for. These are some of the bigger names in the sectors that look pretty good and would probably lead the sector higher moving forward. So you got United Health, Merck, Eli Lilly, and then AbbVie in there. There's a few other names that are starting to turn up as well in the sector, but those are the big ones to keep an eye out for. And I'll go ahead and pass it on over to David with that.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll actually spend most of our time today looking at the discretionary space. Not much action or change, technically speaking, from the utility space. Did see a fall to 10th within Dolly, but again, not really much change overall for utilities. Now, diving into discretionary, have seen quite a bit of action or continued quite a bit of action out of the airline space. Looking here at the U.S. Global Jets ETF, Jets, J-E-T-S, it actually broke a double bottom yesterday, returning for a second consecutive sell signal. It's worth kind of just bearing in mind looking at this technical picture and sort of where the airline space or what the airline space has gone through, broadly speaking, at the volatile or the range of prices that we've seen out of it just by looking at Jets. So intriguing there. But again, second consecutive sell signal now, some near-term resistance as well as long-term resistance at the bearish resistance line there at 20 and a half. Now, the big catalyst yesterday for a lot of downside action for the airline space was the announcement that the deal between Spirit and JetBlue was being blocked by a federal court. So we actually saw Spirit Airlines fall over 60% intraday yesterday, down another 20% today, lost all three of its attributes that it had gained, down to a 0 for 5er. I've seen it fall straight through that trend line, now trading the lowest level we've seen the stock ever share at $6. So at the point, there isn't much technically to speaking for Spirit here. Elsewhere within the space, we also saw Tesla see some technical breakdown and move through its trend line yesterday, falling to a 2 for 5er. This comes after it broke a triple bottom last week, or earlier this week, pardon me, at 228, fell through the trend line with yesterday's action as it fell to 216. Looking or appearing, it may mark that 212 box here. Still have some support at 208 as well as at 192, but interesting to keep an eye on Tesla here moving forward as we've seen that trend line violated, and it's been a little bit range bound for the last 6 months or so. So interesting to keep an eye on Tesla there. Now, elsewhere within the autos and parts space, worth giving a shout out to AutoZone as well as O'Reilly. Did see them rally pretty significantly yesterday. A lot of it was the news, just the fact that they may see some spike in sales due to winter conditions on the Midwest and here on the East Coast. But from a technical perspective, we did see AutoZone move into a negative trend last week, falling to a 2 for 5er. But now, after reversing back up, coming to test that bearish resistance line. The key point here for AutoZone, the reason we bring it up, is there's been a pretty key or significant level of resistance here at 2720. And at this point, it would take a move above 2752, an all-time high, breaking above that resistance in order to flip it back into a positive trend, possibly moving it up to a 3 for 5er. So we'd keep that or possibly set an alert for that potential move or that potential break there, as it would be pretty significant for AutoZone. Last stock we'll look to talk about, and this is more or less just a shout out from its sort of chart improvement, is Domino's Pizza, DPZ. It's down 3 for 5ers, worked its way into the top third of the restaurant sector matrix there, has weekly momentum now positive, has maintained a buy signal since November. And at this point, we haven't seen a pullback just yet, but is moving higher, clearing some prior resistance here earlier this month with move above 416, and yesterday actually improving upon that 52-week high there to 424, bringing it up to a level we haven't seen since the summer of 2022. So interesting there to see all that transpire within Domino's. But for more action elsewhere within these sectors, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
Thank you, David. A few short things for consumer staples and real estate this week, beginning with a look at Dolly, as we like to go back to. Here's real estate moving up to 9th highest placement for this sector since September 2022, still a long way off from that consumer non-cyclical. So consumer staples, the other sector that I was going to mention, still about 40 plus signals off of that sector. So no real threat at this time, but we're still seeing some nice relative price gains from real estate. As for underlying participation in the sector, the bullish percent is still in X's, well above the prior 2022 and 23 highs. So I'm liking to see that the soldiers are remaining on the battlefield here within the real estate space. We can't say necessarily the same for all the other major indexes and sectors, as others have alluded to already. The real estate space, though, is not without some near-term concerns of pullback. This is the 10-week for the sector, so how many stocks are above their 50-day moving average? This recently reversed in the past week from a multi-year participation high just shy of 90%. So we are seeing some amount of stocks return beneath their 50-day moving average, but overall, sector participation still looks healthy at this time for the space. XLRE 3.08 fund score, not a ton of chart action change over the past week, just highlighting a prior resistance at 39, still hoping for a reversal up to 40.5. That would look constructive for the fund. There's also a number of other real estate funds that are improving in fund score. You can go to the asset allocation and asset class group scores page, and then just click on those ideas to the left of real estate. I think the biggest development, though, over the past week is going to be earnings from PLD. This is the biggest holding in XLRE. It's about 12% of the fund, well-placed in the real estate matrix. Pulling back today, though, they met expectations, but guided, I think, softer than Wall Street would have hoped. Overall, though, the stock still looks strong right here with the four attribute. I think a higher bottom would really solidify the overall technical picture here. And then again, a breakout of 140 mentioning would really add some further confirmation. The next one on deck for real estate that I think is going to be most noteworthy is going to be Crown Castle, towards the bottom of the matrix, but three attribute stock recently broke back into a positive trend. So I think there are some high expectations here. This should be a name to watch, and any further improvement to a four or five attribute, I think, would make this one viable as well. No macro updates for Staples, so just highlighting a notable earnings name on the horizon. This is Archer Daniels, ADM. This recently broke out some multi-year lows at $69, one attribute stock, moderately oversold as well. So overall, not a positive technical picture, but we'll see if there's any type of catalyst that comes with earnings that can maybe turn this around. That's all I had for my updates this week, so I will give it to Jamie.
Basic Materials remains sixth in the Dolly sector rankings. The Select Sector Materials Fund, ticker XLB, down around 150 basis points over the last week, trailing the S&P 500. We can see the fund score for XLB remains unfavorable at 2.84. Taking a look at some interest sector funds, first up, the VanEck Gold Miners ETF, ticker GDX. GDX down about 270 basis points over the last week, fell to a sell signal when it broke a double bottom at 28.50, also violating its trend line. And as we can now see, now has a weak 1.24 fund score. We also saw industrial metals, the S&P Metals and Mining ETF, ticker XME, down over the last week, XME down around 280 basis points. However, you can contrast this with GDX, and we see a pretty positive technical picture, has now pulled back to around the middle of its trading band, still on multiple consecutive buy signals, and as you can see, almost a five fund score. So a much stronger technical picture for industrial metals than for precious metals, as has been the case for a while, despite both being down pretty significantly over the last week. I think this move may be constructive for industrial metals, which had gotten pretty heavily overbought. Within the DWA group matrix, we can also see that steel sits at number two out of all 40 groups in the system. So kind of confirming that, you know, to the extent that you are keeping materials exposure, industrial metals really the area you kind of want to focus on. Really one of the only areas within materials that's showing relative strength at this point. So I'd really kind of concentrate there. Although, you know, overall the material sector relatively weak. So moving on to energy, it remains fifth in the Dolly sector rankings. The Select Spider Energy Fund, ticker XLE, down about 200 basis points over the last week. It fell to a market RS sell signal last Wednesday. And then today it took out pretty notable support with a triple bottom break there at $80, taking out support at 81 that had been in place since July of last year. XLE's fund score now a pretty abysmal 1.21, and we see no further support on the chart till 77 and 76. So overall, you know, I think the Dolly sector rankings telling us what we need to know about energy, seeing that confirmed by the chart and the fund score, really a sector you want to kind of avoid or definitely be underweight. As we are also continuing to see some volatility and weakness in energy commodities, which I'll touch on a bit later. But that will wrap up my sector coverage. So I'll go ahead and pass it over to Miles to cover communication services.
Appreciate it, Jamie. We will go ahead and get started here with communication services. It remains just outside or kind of in that bottom middle half of the Dolly rankings. And with no material changes to XLC, we'll jump into a couple different stock comments for the last week. First one is coming from Meta, M-E-T-A. Still remains its perfect 5 for 5 technical attribute rating and has pulled back on its default chart as of the time of this recording here, looking at around 360 or so. Is on a string of 3 consecutive buy signals, and all things considered, I think this is a positive move for Meta, as it is one of the larger stocks within the market as well. You know, you could look to add on this pullback here for Meta. If we do continue to see some of that tech-focused rollover that we're seeing and want to rotate out into more traditional telecom stocks, T-Mobile, we've talked about this one when in 2022 a lot when tech-focused comm wasn't doing that well. T-Mobile is another name to look towards. It's a 5 for 5 recently breaking to new all-time highs there. Still on a string of 3 consecutive buy signals in heavily overbought territory as well. So haven't seen that pullback like we have across the rest of the market to start January. But again, like I mentioned, if we do see a rotation out of tech-focused areas and want to move to more traditional telecom names, T-Mobile is the one to do so with. Moving over into industrials here. Looking at the average score for the average industrial fund over on the asset class and group scores page, interestingly enough, it looks like 4.25 or so has been an area of, quote, resistance. Don't necessarily call it that, but kind of high points for industrials over the last 52 weeks or so. Looking to back off that here over the last couple of weeks. So something to keep an eye out on, as we have seen some weakness emerge from industrials over the, you know, since the start of 2024. A couple different names we want to take a look at. The first one's going to be small cap industrial fund PSCI. It maintained its strong 5.60 fund score on a string of 3 consecutive buy signals, breaking back into a positive trend in the middle of 2023 here, recently reversed back down towards the middle of the trading band. If we do see some small cap kind of finding its footing and reversing back up, broadly speaking, PSCI is definitely an option here, as we are in actionable territory for the fund at current levels. A couple different stock comments here. Boeing has been the name on everybody's agenda for the last couple weeks with the fundamental unrest we've seen here, with recent action actually reversing back down against both the market and its peer group, moving to a 1 for 5 for the first time in a couple of years. However, technically, as for long exposure, this one's going to be a sell-on rally candidate. But if you are looking for more short-term exposure, I think this one is actually pretty interesting. Still remains on those 2 consecutive buy signals, oversold at current levels, having pulled back to a point of old resistance back there at 200. If we do get a reversal back up again for a purely short-term play, I think this is an interesting one to keep on the radar for Boeing. One that you could look towards here at current levels is going to be GE, General Electric. Is a perfect 5 for 5 that ranks nicely within its respective sector matrix as well. Hasn't posted a sell signal since March of 2023. So again, technically strong. Only thing maybe I would knock against it is don't have traditional support until 106, so quite a while, but maybe change the scale around to a $1 chart, 1 point chart there, and a new picture might emerge for GE. All things considered, strong stock. With that said, I'll go ahead and wrap up here and toss it on over to Ian to wrap up sector coverage.
Great. Thank you, Miles. So the broader technology space has seen some different kind of movement within some the underlying subsectors over the course of the past week or two. We saw it tick up and add another buy signal on the Dolly sector ranking. So still remains firmly in that top position. We have seen the broader technology select sector spider fund, ticker XLK,
Very strong 5.65 fund score, reversed down earlier this month, and then with movement last week, reversed back up into a column of X's there, sitting at that 192 point, which is that rally high or all-time high that we got to back there in December. So still sitting at that resistance point at 192, would get to a buy signal to break out at 194. You do have near-term resistance or near-term support rather at that 184 point now. So rather than just sitting on that massive stem. So pretty positive looking technical picture, not even overbought territory for the broader space. Semiconductors have led a lot of the recent improvement. We've seen many of the bigger names just continue to move higher. NVIDIA made yet another new all-time high with movement yesterday. Very strong 5.79 fund score here from the VanEck Semiconductor ETF, ticker SMH. Pretty consistent looking picture here too. You got two consecutive buy signals pushing to highs at 176, a little bit of a pullback here from that extended positioning. So could be a pretty interesting area to look toward. You got support at 164, further support down there at the 158 point. Not every semiconductor name though has shown improvement, and the first stock within the tech space, or the within XLK rather, to report earnings is one of those. So that's going to be looking at Texas Instruments, ticker TXN. This is ranked in the bottom half of the semiconductors matrix, but it is reporting earnings next Tuesday. So something to keep an eye out there for. Showed improvement with a lot of other areas in the semi space throughout the last 2 months of last year. But now it's kind of running into some resistance around that bearish resistance line. So fell down, moved back to a sell signal with movement today, actually down to the 162 point. So further supports from here is not going to be down until 144. If we do see some positive reaction from earnings next week, look toward resistance at 170, 172. If it gets back above those thresholds, that's going to push it back into a positive trend. Still would have some work cut out for it to get back to a favorable attribute threshold because it's a 1 for 5, but nonetheless could be an interesting name to look at there next Tuesday. And then name that a lot of people have been discussing and talking about, obviously, one of the larger stocks that hasn't participated with the kind of consistent improvement we've seen from other mega caps this month has been Apple. Still a 5 for 5 from an attribute perspective, but has seen some notable declines after matching that high at 198. So I haven't talked about Apple in the past couple of weeks, but do just want to note it's not in heavily oversold condition. It was on a really significant stem, so it's undone about half of that. So I've seen it pull back to the slightly beneath the midpoint on its trading band, but kind of half the rally we've seen it isn't necessarily from a longer term perspective a real weak thing to look toward, right? So we're closer to support at that 168 to 166 point where that trend line is. Not necessarily saying it's going to fall down to that point, but that would be the next support level there on the default chart. But from a longer term perspective, it's been on a buy signal against the market since 2004, strong 5 for 5. Definitely want to keep those things in mind when looking at some of the headlines. And shifting gears from here, moving into the international equity space, as John had touched on, a lot of the news within the international equity space coming out of China and that weak underperformance that we've seen from China has been amplified over the course of the past week. This has been seen in the iShares MSCI Emerging Markets ETF, ticker EEM. Pushed lower back into a column of those and is moving lower another about 2% at the time of this recording on Wednesday, dropping down and toward the support at 36.50. So on a sell signal and a negative trend in a column of those, weak fund score, the broader emerging markets place here is definitely an area that will continue to want to be avoided. And as John mentioned, the other areas in the emerging market space are still demonstrating some resilience or showing stronger pictures. China is certainly showing further weakness. So we've seen a lot of selling across the China or China-related equity space. Seeing some of that selling with news coming out earlier this week that the kind of intermediate-term lending rates were left unchanged. And so that led to some drastic deterioration within Chinese equities. That then led to some derivative products in on the Hang Seng in Hong Kong specifically had some callable options there. So just some forced selling from some derivative products kind of amplified that within the Hang Seng too. So you can really see that kind of consistent downdraft there, pushing the Hang Seng index here down toward the support at the kind of 14,828, 14,830 mark. Here looking at a 2% chart, it's going to be that October low. So we haven't gotten the October low here yet. But that would be that kind of final support here to look towards, see if we see some demand come back into the picture there for Chinese equities in the near term. Not every area in Asia has seen further weakness, though. So one of those areas that has shown further appreciation is Japan. This obviously in the developed space, but here looking at the half point chart of Japan, ticker EWJ. Here from iShares, strong 4.73 fund score, consistent three consecutive buy signals, reaching a new 52-week high up at the 66.50 point last week, and then reversing back down into a column of those to the 65 point with movement today. So pretty consistent picture here. Japan would definitely be an area that could be looked toward, unlike its close neighbor there, China. So with that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on here for international, and I will go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
Long-term U.S. Treasury yields up slightly over the last week. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield index printing an X at 4.1% on its chart today. I think the bigger news over the last couple of days may be that we may be seeing some cracks in the market's position about rate cuts. Yesterday, Fed Governor Waller said that the Fed will likely cut rates in 2024, but won't be rushed to do so. He said that his views are in line with the FOMC's December SEP Statement of Economic Projections, which showed that FOMC members had a median projection of around three rate cuts in 2024. This is about half of what the market has been pricing in. And for whatever reason, the market took Waller's comments more seriously than they had been taking the kind of pushback that the Fed has been giving. You know, we saw yields rise, and we also saw the Fed futures market kind of reposition on when it sees the first rate cut. You can see prior a day ago or 2 days ago, or like a week ago, we were pricing in around a 65% chance of a rate cut. As of today, we're now pricing in around a 55% chance of a rate cut come March. You know, I don't want to make too much out of any one day or any one interview with a Fed member, but I think that a lot of the current yield structure is based around pricing in Fed rate cuts. So if we do see the market position kind of shift to reflect the Fed position, you know, I think we could see some upward pressure in yields further out on the yield curve. Again, you know, not saying that necessarily will happen, but, you know, I think for the first time yesterday, we kind of saw the market taking the Fed's view a little bit more seriously. So just something I think you should be cognizant of, that I think, you know, there is this differential between the Fed view and the market view. And if the market view kind of moves toward the Fed view, which would be fewer rate cuts at a slower pace, I think that could put some upward pressure on longer term yields. That being said, not a lot of other action within fixed income over the last week. Really, within the asset class group scores, the same picture that we saw last week, floating rates and corporate high yield at the top of the fixed income rankings. Even with, you know, the 10-year pushing 4.1%, we still haven't gotten all of these groups out of heavily overbought territory. You know, most of these, not the most rate sensitive groups, but you do see a few credit bonds that are still up around heavily overbought territory. That being said, you know, I think we could see a little bit more potential pullback in some areas of the fixed income market, but a lot of it seems to have normalized, fallen back below those 70% levels, although, you know, still above the middle of the trading band in most cases. Moving on to commodities, the S&P GSCI Commodities Index flat over the last week. Not a lot of change within the continuous commodities matrix. Continue to see a couple of agriculture and softs contracts at the top, along with a couple of precious metals contracts. really not a lot of chart changes over the last week outside of energy. So we'll take a look at the two big ones, crude oil first. It completed a bullish triangle last week when it broke a double top at $75, and it quickly reversed down and today traded below 71. So we will at least, you know, form a double bottom here at 71. Obviously, the upside breakout, potentially a positive sign for crude oil. I think the very quick reversal down, not necessarily constructive. We do consider triangles to be continuation patterns. So kind of coming into this, you would expect that it might break to the downside. So at this point, I would be on the lookout for a potential false breakout and then for us to continue down to $70 or below. That remains to be seen, but I wouldn't jump in on crude oil just on this buy signal, as we still have seen some pretty notable weakness since that occurred. And then moving on to natural gas, volatility in natural gas continues. It was down around 12.5% yesterday. You can see falling from a double top at 335 to break a double bottom at 290. We now show no support on the chart until 240. Natural gas not really catching a bid this morning as it's down roughly 2%. I think after a move like that, you tend to expect there to be at least some buyer stepping in to take what is a pretty heavy discount compared to where we had been trading. But right now, that doesn't appear to be the case. The point being that there seems to be some pretty significant weakness within natural gas at the moment, and overall, some pretty challenging conditions for the energy commodity complex as a whole. But really, other than that, not a lot of changes within commodities. As I said, the S&P GSCI Commodities Index pretty much flat over the last week, and aside from the comments from Waller yesterday, really not a lot of action within fixed income. So that will bring me to the end of my coverage. It will also bring us to the end of our call. We appreciate you joining us, and we will be back next week to update you over on any changes we see over the coming week.